I'm Robert McClain, cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons, and I'm here with this week's Read with a Falcon. And we're going to read The King of Little Things by Bill Lepp, illustrated by David T. Wenzel. Long ago, on the far side of a mountain, lived the King of Little Things. While other kings busied themselves with the big things of this world, he happily ruled over all things small. He was king of coins, candles, combs, keys, knots, nods, knobby knees, bottles, buttons, beetles, burps, chiggers, chips, chickadee chirps, petals, paddles, paper clips, lamp wicks, lentils, lizard lips, mittens, marbles, macaroni, barnacles, bats, and fried bologna. The King of Little Things had a cozy house and a loving queen. He fed the birds, left crumbs for the ants, and planted flowers for the bees. He had everything he needed and didn't want for more. Not so with bigger kings. No matter how vast their kingdoms, they always wanted more. Bigger riches, bigger bridges, bigger britches. Greediest of all was King Normus. He wanted to be king of all the world. With this in mind, he gathered an army, a big army. He raided realms, he squashed sovereignties, he eradicated empires. When he was certain he had conquered every king, queen, czar, empress, chieftain, Raja, Sultan in the world, it was time for some magnificent merrymaking. He ordered his cooks to fix a fabulous feast. He commanded his goldsmith to create a colossal crown. He instructed his tailors to sew a splendid suit. At last, proclaimed King Normus, as he lifted the glittering crown from his velvet cushion, I am king of all things. His steward raised a trembling hand. I beg your pardon, your highness, of great heft. What is it? Snapped the king. My large liege, whimpered the steward. I believe you may have missed his minuscule majesty, the king of little things. Little things have a king, how enormous. What nonsense. Everyone knows that little things exist only to serve big things. King Normus stroked his beard. Where lives this king of little things? He growled. Through the old forest, on the far side of a mountain, my considerable sire, said the steward. Amass my armies, Normus cried. We shall go there immediately and put this tiny king in his very small place. After marching for days, King Normus and his armies at last neared the land of King of Little Things. This will not be fair fight, and that's just the way the big king liked it. As the enemy approached, the King of Little Things sent a message to his subjects. He had a plan and he needed their help. And during the night, the Little Things went to work. The next morning, the soldiers found mealworms in their bread, chiggers in their underpants, and fungus between their toes. Worse yet, there was nothing left to fight with. Termites had made dust heaps of their arrow shafts, water droplets had worked their way into their gunpowder, and rust had ruined the cannons and catapults. In a royal rage, King Normus called for his council. If we cannot defeat this king through might, he roared, then clearly we must trick him. We must cheat him. We must lie. After all, a lie, no matter how small, is never a little thing. Normus turned to his advisors, invite this charlatan to my tent under a flag of truce and prepare the dungeon. The instant the king of little things entered the tent, small things recognized their master and fell at his feet. Coins rolled out of the big king's coffers. Jewels jumped from his crown. Buttons popped from his suspenders. Norman stood in his underwear before the entire court. Take this puny pretender to the castle, he shrieked, and toss him in the dungeon. The soldiers tried, but the dungeon keys were loyal to the king of little things and would not turn the lock. The nails recognized their king and sprang from the door to bow before him. When Normus learned of this, he had the little king taken to the deepest, darkest cavern in the land. He ordered the entrance sealed with a stone, a big stone. Life in the cave was not entirely unpleasant. Ants brought crumbs, birds brought seeds, bees brought honey. But the king of little things missed his house. He missed his garden. He missed his queen. He sent a message with the ants, birds, and bees. He respectively asked little things everywhere to make themselves known. The little things loved their king, and they obeyed. All over the world, small things began to happen. Strings unstrung, hangers unhung, doors closed, campfires froze, frills unfrilled, pickles undilled, quills quivered, pencils shivered, bolts bolted, brakes jolted, cookies crumbled, blocks trembled, ticks and tocks left their clocks. Boats listed, words twisted. Lights unlit, scarves unknit. And every little thing, everywhere, refused to work. The people stormed Normus's castle and demanded that he release the prisoner. Abandoned by his armies, the once mighty king had a little choice. So the king of little things returned home. The little things went back to work. And King Normus, he spent the rest of his days looking for his keys, his spectacles, his pocket watch, his socks, his wallet, his hairnet. And he never thought about little things in the same way again. The end. Thank you for reading The King of Little Things with me today. And please join us next week for Read with the Falcon.